it. Jump runs. He's in the 10, 15. He's in the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. There goes Jump. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Jabba-lubba hub.
Third down and 10. Pick it back. Here comes the rush. They've got him. Sack number one. Oh. Hassan Reddick. Oh. 5.5 on the season.
Wow.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelsey. Touchdown. Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into Canton Bound, episode 27. The NFL Combine is in the books, and that's what me and Adam are here for, to talk about the biggest takeaways from the Combine, in our opinion. Always got to put that like little asterisk, Adam, in our opinion. Kind of feels like the run-up for GameStop and AMC. This is not financial advice.
This is not financial advice. Well, anything I give you from the beginning, even though I call myself ATM, it's my initials. I don't give financial advice at all. Nothing about real money. I'm not qualified.
Hey, this is coming from the guy who sold Shiba before it jumped up like 75% in a day here in this last couple weeks. So don't listen to me for stock tips. My bad.
Well,
whoops.
R.I.P. I think
R.I.P. All right, Adam. Let's get into it, because we got I'm sure we probably got a lot to talk about, but combine takeaways. We talked about the primer, what we were looking at going into them. Now, after the combine, we got that clarity, right? Some people know it as PNC. It's PG show, though, so I won't say that. After the combine, though, tight end. Let's start at tight end, because it's the most disgusting position in fantasy football, in my opinion. Sorry, tight ends. We continue to bury you religiously. But do you have any big takeaways from the combine at the tight end position? Anybody that stood out to you, good or bad? Anything kind of confirm your priors or go, wait a minute, what's up with this guy?
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I still got to do a little digging on the tight ends. But there was a small sample that actually, you know, really participated in all of it, I guess you would want to say. All of them, like, athletically look intriguing enough. Now, like I said, I got to do a little more digging to see what level of my intriguement they're really gathering. Like, I think Jatavion Sanders, I was actually hoping ran a little faster, but like, he's still perfectly within the range at 4.69, right? Cade Stover at 4.65. If you would have told me right now that I had to bet on which guy would run a faster straight line 40, Jatavion Sanders or Cade Stover, there's no chance I would have had the balls to put Cade Stover.
No, I like Cade too. Like, he
no
stood
chance
out.
I would have done that.
We went and watched a Marvin Harrison Jr. film. First thing we did in the Discord, right? First film session that we had, and like, we all came away like, all right, Cade, like, Cade can ball. Like, but I don't think anybody was gonna, like you said, Adam, if you told me to bet my mortgage on who runs the faster 40-yard dash, it was not gonna be Cade Stover over Jatavion Sanders for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd be homeless right now, buddy.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have probably bet that heavily on it to be homeless, although it wouldn't take much right now. However, I'll say, let me just give you something that I'm curious your thoughts of. We talked about this before the combine, and where are you at with Jaheim Bell right now?
So, how about that? Let's start off with the biggest takeaway for me. Pleasantly surprised.
All right. I'm here if you were moving where I'm at. Okay.
Pleasantly surprised. Okay. I thought it was going to be closer to 6 foot. 6'2 is doable. Okay. 6'2
is doable. I was just going to say, the crazy part is that if you get in the range of, okay, so let's say you're 6'6. Like, that's, you're in the perfect, like,
ideal,
your money.
6'6", 260, you're the ideal tight end.
Right. Now, I think once you get to about 6'3", especially, Mike,
start like to that, question it a little bit.
Well, just the difference in 6'1 to 6'2 and 6'2 to 6'3, those 2 inches are massive, honestly.
Yes.
It doesn't, like, completely make or break, but if you're 6'1", you have to be so good everywhere else that it's going to be really hard to overcome. All of a sudden at 6'2", it's like a little less of a blow, right? 6'3", a little less. So it's, I think on the size thing, what's weird is that I didn't expect him to have different heights in two different places and within like a week or two, you know?
Right.
Kind of crazy.
Got to figure out what's going down there with Jim Nagy and the Senior Bowl, all
right? We got to figure out which metric that's measuring height is right, okay? What kind of contraption are we using here, you know?
Yeah, like was it slanted? I don't know.
What's going
they
on
let him keep his shoes
on?
I don't know what's happening. But 6'2", it was like, okay. You can work with this a little bit. It's still concerning, obviously, because he's short. The weight was fine. 40 was fine. His athletic testing, his RAS number is going to come in somewhere in the eights, you know, officially at the end. So he's a workable prospect. He's not just – I don't just write him off as a Josiah DeGuara, like you're an H-back only, you're done, or you have to be a freak Delanie Walker now. So he does have some intrigue, especially with his athleticism that came in. It obviously shows on the film. He's versatile. You see it in the film. He's taking carries. He's playing tailback. He's playing fullback. He's playing out wide. He's playing in the slot. He plays all over the place. Now, his biggest thing is while the combine was good and you like what you saw at him, it's not like it automatically propels him into, hey, I'm going to take him in the second round of my rookie drafts, okay? He's still a third, fourth rounder at best.
Well, I mean, I would say, frankly, in this class, Mike, like, I mean, I know you've done mocks. The most recent mock I did, Jatavion Sanders was a late second.
Yes.
And here's what I guess I'll say is that Jaheim Bell right now is one of these where, okay, when you look at his profile, they're not, you really don't see many like this, Mike, where it's, when you look at his, even with him being 6'2", I mean, that's like we made, you know, mention that it's not 6'1", but like when you look at the RAS score, that's 0.71. Like they're saying it's still pretty dang bad, right?
Right.
His weight is in his composite size grade is awful. I think it says, very poor. Very poor is what it says, right?
Not but, awful, but very poor.
Same thing. It's different, but same.
But still safe.
Composite explosion grade, though, and the composite speed grade, he didn't do any of the agility testing. But, Mike, I mean, actually, when you look at for his size, believe it or not, he destroyed everything as far as the athletics go. So if you're going to be 6'2 and 241, like I'm probably already right there like, ugh, I don't know if this is what I'm looking to do. But if I'm going to take you in the third round, like you're saying, that's where he's going to end up going. You don't have to take him in the second round in this class. It's deep enough, at least for what we know today.
Right.
He has the athleticism, given with what I think I've seen from him in spurts, to be worthy of a flyer in the third, for sure.
Flyer in the third. How about another flyer in the third for me? My biggest takeaway, Dallin Hoker met the minimum thresholds. I like what I saw from him on film. Didn't come in terrible, but the RAS is still going to be above 7, which is like my baseline floor. If you can't hit a 7, then I don't care about you at all. I won't select you in a draft, period.
That's fair. So where? Let me ask you this then. Relative right now to like Jaheim Bell, let's just say. Holker or Bell, where are you at?
I'll take Holker. I like him a little bit better, especially on film. 6'3", 6'3 plus, right? Officially 6'3", 3. That's how they list it out. But 240, kind of in that like Sam Laporta height weight mold, which a lot of these guys, surprisingly, a lot of those guys were in the 6'3", 240s, right? Brock Bowers didn't do any athletic testing, but he did measure in, put a bed to a lot of the concerns about him being an accountant with that one picture that was out there viral a few weeks ago. And it's like, yeah, he's the same size as Sam Laporta.
Yeah, I absolutely love the that accountant thing.
Brock Bowers accounting.
It was pretty awesome. That picture, I think, will live in infamy.
I would have liked to see Dallin Hoker run a faster 40, but it is what it is. Like, it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I don't want to reveal, like, all the cards today. I'm still kind of doing a lot of digging on the numbers. But for me, Mike, here's what I'll say about these two. I'll just put it like this. If I was going to bet just in a vacuum on the profiles, based on what I know about Raz, I will take Jaheim Bell just because it's ahead of the 8 mark, and Holker's at the 7, was it 7? Seven, basically 7.5, 7.4. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm what you said, over 7, I will draft you. But I think there's some pretty big telling stuff there. Now, here's the truth about it. What's crazy, right? When you think about the size, Mike, I mean, they're the exact same weight. We're talking about that, you know, there's an inch ahead for Holker. I think that the reason I bring that up is, like, that 1 inch to me, if they're the same weight, I'd rather take the – I think what I did see from Jaheim Bell at the Combine, it was explosion. So I'll lean him. By the way, I'll still take flyers on Holker. I'm not out. I'm just in a vacuum.
The one thing I have about Holker, too, is unlike Jaheim Bell, he was like, I'm going to do the agility drills, and he absolutely smashed
and
those.
That is actually fair. I would like to see – I mean, we all probably would, right? Like, I would love to see more of – I guess it is what it is. It's optional, but like, if you're doing all these other drills, like, why can't you do the agility drills? Like I get if you're hurt or you can't go through it, or you're saying I'm opting out altogether. But like, I don't know. The picking and choosing seems odd to me. Like, what are you hiding? You know?
Yeah. Well, they let him do it, man. It's kind of like Braylon Allen. He was willing to do the on field work, but by all accounts, too, from what I saw from Braylon Allen on the field, it was like, okay, he can move. There was concerns about slow feet, and he's running through the bags and doing the Deuce Staley drill, which was really good. And I'm like, okay, this boy can move. But it's the same thing. It's like, you're willing to go out there and do it. If you come out and run a 4.6, who's going to give a shit?
Well, right? I understand, like, to your point. I know it's optional. They're not like, there's no one telling you have to come do this. They don't have the authority to do that. But my point is, like, if you're out there healthy enough to do all this other stuff, like, to me, it just signals a red flag. Like, you're really not going to run the 40? Like, it's just weird to me. You're not going to do the agility drills to Jaheim Bell, to your point. Now, Holker did kill that. So let me ask you this then. What's your take on Theo Johnson? I mean, that's the burning question, I think, that everyone's like, how are you not talking about Theo yet?
This is going to be the next one. An absolute freak at the Combine. Like, he performed at the Combine like we thought – Jatavion Sanders was going to.
I'll be honest with you, Mike. I didn't see anybody doing what he did. I did not see anybody doing that, honestly.
Ooh. I had some hopes. I had some hopes that Jatavion was going to come out there and smash. But
I mean, I thought 260 would smash too. But like, Theo went out there and just, I mean, you can't, it's hard to be better than that, you know?
6'6", 260. So a mountain of a man already. Comes out, jumps 40, damn near 40 inches in vertical, 39 and a half. I'll round up, man. You get 39 and a half, we'll just call you a 40-inch vert guy, Adam. You can appreciate that as a fellow former college basketball player.
Listen, you get to that range of 40, like, your boy can get up, straight up. Like,
and And you know the difference, too. That's a standing vert. You know, like sometimes in basketball, they measure those guys off the running vert.
Don't let the running vert. Don't not even this, you know, here, kind of gather. No. We're just going up, man. Let's see what you got.
Straight up, man. No gather. And the gather means everything, especially for me.
I did that when I was in Vegas trying to play overseas. That is a – you'd be surprised, like, how much different it is with even just a step. Than it is just going straight at explosion like you're doing a squat almost. It's crazy different.
Massive. It's more natural though, ain't it? Like, you do that a billion times in a basketball game. The gather,
100%.
There's never a single time I could like think of playing basketball ever, Adam, where I just stand still and like crouch down and then jump straight up. That
I can't
doesn't happen
in drills. That's it. You know,
drills.
Exactly. Well, speaking of drills, it's like this 40 that we're talking about. But okay. But anyway, keep going with the vertical 39 and a half.
Yep. 10 foot plus in the broad jump. Good. 40 at that size coming out running a 4.57 with a unofficial 1.55 10-yard split. Elite. Elite. And then he actually did perform in the agility drills. Got a great score on the old RAS metric there. So 3-cone, not the greatest, stupid drill sometimes. But nice to see. Good measurement. Remember DK's 3-cone drill? Terrible. Didn't matter. But the shuttle was awesome. So here's the thing about Theo. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things where I will use the combine. Because I didn't have a very good opinion of Theo Johnson coming in. Now, for the reasons coming into the combine, I had no idea about his athleticism, nothing like that. When I watched him, he showed flashes. Like, he shows elite flashes, but then I always had these questions. Why were these other tight ends playing above you at Penn State? Like, these sorry Penn State fans, or sorry if you're a Penn State tight end, listen to it. Like, these guys were nobodies for me. Now, maybe some people on the Campus Scan Network, they knew who they were. I didn't until midway through the season. And it's like, I was told Theo Johnson's going to be this guy, and who the hell is this dude that's like getting all this run here? Is Theo hurt? No, not hurt. This dude's just playing above him. And then like some other dude comes in and plays above him and you're like, okay, what the hell's going on? So I had questions. This is the perfect case of like the combine where he comes out and he shows all this. And it's a great signal for NFL success, Adam. You're working on a project that will show this. But it's a great signal for future or potential NFL success, right? This is why we talk about Raz. For me, if you don't hit certain thresholds, like I don't care about you at all. I just cross you off the list because it's probably more than likely not going to happen for you. Now, guys like this, it can happen for. We could be talking about Theo Johnson in 4 or 5 years as a top five tight end, right?
Yep.
Now, what the combine's going to do, though, is it's going to make me go back and really dive into Theo Johnson's tape. And it's really going to make me go back and look at him with, like, I got to figure out, will the real Theo Johnson please stand up? Is it the dude that I saw at the combine that is absolutely unit? Or is this a guy, if his draft capital goes a little bit too high, like if people start taking him in the second round of my rookie drafts, is this going to be a guy, like, I got to make a decision on? Am I on board or am I going to go, nah, like the tape, I still have way too many questions to invest that kind of capital.
Yeah, there was a, I was trying to get actually the place I've been watching film through, they don't have any of the Penn State ones cut up. So I'm going to have to, I was going to watch today. Like I was going to go back and actually watch it. So I got to find some games, but I'll say I agree with you there. Here's what I'll say about Theo, right? And when I look at it, it's like, okay, I'm definitely with you on the why are people playing ahead of you, right? Now, his production as a whole is pretty meh. Let's call it what it is, right? Like college dominator at 27% or 27 percentile, 11.3, you know. It's not like it's a, when he's getting 350 yards, we're talking about one of these archaic offenses that doesn't like, it's not one of the worst offenses in the country. So he never really earned a target share to speak of. I guess here's the thing for me though, right? You can't guarantee me that he's not going to have a chance to be developed at the next level. And obviously he has raw tools that teams will give a chance to. So I guess at the end of the day, his measurables for me will make me absolutely take the shot on him, especially if I'm getting him more mid third-ish, late third, fourth round type stuff. I'll take a shot in this class. Like if people get carried away, I'll just let them have him, you know, take the value buck. But he had 7 touchdowns this year. I think that there is some crazy upside. What I think is that there is a chance that he hits. But just because you run a, you know, unbelievable 40 and you have a 10 out of 10 RAS score, that also isn't a guarantee that you're going to be good. It just is a threshold that says you have the ability to. Mike, I'll tell you another thing, too. I think the draft capital for me a little bit will speak. Like Zach Kuntz feels like the one that last year got us. And Mike, I'll tell you this, from what I've been going over, I haven't seen a 7th round pick that's done anything. And there's been day 3 guys, but like you fall all the way there after killing the combine like that, kind of tells me what the NFL thinks of you a little bit. Not that, you know, you don't have your Kittle that hits in the 6th or you have your day 3 guys that hit, right? But if you're falling like super, super late like that, I think it's a little bit of a different tell for me.
I like it. One honorable mention I'll throw in there, and we've had some discourse in the Discord about it. Which is great.
Discord, I like that.
Love it. It's Johnny Wilson. You know, some people want to see him play wide receiver. I'm personally of the opinion. Listen, when I watch the film on Johnny Wilson, he has a hard time separating against DBs. All right, this isn't a Mike Evans. He's more in that Kelvin Benjamin role. Right, like. He wins when he wins is because of physicality, the fact that he has, you know, alien-like arms. He's built like a tank, just a giant human being. Has a tougher time running routes, has a tougher time separating from DBs consistently outside of just being bigger and stronger than them. But trust me, even though an NFL DB may only be 5'11", Adam, you better believe they probably have a 42, 43-inch vertical and they're going to go up with you. And all of a sudden that 6'6 height just comes obsolete, right? So I'm of the opinion, like you're that good for his future NFL outlook, please make the move to tight end. Like, I'm not even talking traditional tight end, just get in line and block. I mean, like, use him like Sam Laporta gets used, Trey McBride gets used. That slot weapon, that move tight end, and all of a sudden, a guy who couldn't separate very well against DBs is now facing up against linebackers, facing up against strong safeties who sometimes lack in cover skills. Think of all the guys that we think are just glorified linebackers playing safety. So I would love to see Johnny Wilson. And then from a Raz aspect, he would be in that elite territory. You know, probably the easiest one to go back, people point out to Darren Waller, but I think about last year was Elijah Higgins. Elijah Higgins, you know, there was questions whether he could be a wide receiver or a tight end. Makes a move to tight end. Doesn't get the greatest draft capital. You know, Miami's like an interesting spot, but we don't really know. Ends up getting cut, goes to the Cardinals. And at the end of the season, who's actually on the field producing? Like, putting numbers up next to Trey McBride. It's Elijah Higgins, becoming intriguing. So, please, Johnny Wilson, if he were to actually officially make the move to tight end, it'd be the greatest thing ever. And all of a sudden, that's a guy like Adam, if he got, let's say, round three, round four, even like round five draft capital with the way the rest of this tight end class kind of shook out, that would be my tight end three off the board right there. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Okay. Wow. I'll say this. To the point you made, I would rather Johnny Wilson be a tight end than a wide receiver. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's for fantasy purposes. Like, this is nothing, you know, to the person of Johnny Wilson. The Higgins one is intriguing. Here's what I'll say in general about the wide receiver to tight end transition. I think that there are definitely times like this would be a case in point where he doesn't possess, I don't think, what it would take to be meaningful for fantasy purposes at the receiver position with that frame. It's just, I don't think we've ever seen anything like that at the receiver position in the NFL. Like 6'7" skinny like that. Like, it's crazy.
It feels like he's skinny, but he ain't really that skinny.
I mean, he's okay, but my point is, he's not like give me a 6'7" receiver looking like that.
I got you.
Okay, you know what I'm
Eagles,
saying?
Eagles legend, and okay. This is before your time.
Okay,
probably it's a slightly before my time as an Eagles fan too. But Harold Carmichael, NFL Hall of Famer, 6'8" wide receiver, maybe 220 ish, 215.
What era are we talking?
You're talking like 70s, 80s.
And I think if we could go back and play in that time, he might be able to make it there too. But I just, you know, I don't think he's going to make it.
Hey, don't besmirch the name of NFL Hall of Famer Harold Carmichael.
He did well. Listen, he did good. I actually don't know. I'm going completely off.
So he's, if you're a fan of, what's the Mark Wahlberg Eagles movie?
Oh,
brain's
crap.
Losing it here.
Mine's too now. Why is it when you put me on the spot with certain movies, like I can actually see it?
Invincible.
Invincible, thank you. Jeez, yes. Christmas. I was actually going to say it.
Vince Papale, right? He's playing on that team. That's the era that we're talking about with Harold Carmichael. He's on the team, number 17.
Boom. This wasn't to besmirch the name of, you know, Carmichael, all right?
I will no not have any slate. What now I'm going to go buy a fucking Harold Carmichael jersey just because, buddy.
Honestly, I think you should. It would go well with you. You're an Eagles fan. You should also know Invincible off the dome. That should just be like...
Listen, I got a massive dome. I got a big-ass head, Adam.
That's true. And, there's a lot in it, too.
There's a lot in there. Sometimes it's... A lot of... It's not a SSD. It's an HDD, okay? Like, it's mechanical in function. It takes a while sometimes to find it.
I like that. I mean, I think it's better that he goes to play tight end. I'll just say that I've gone over the last 8 years, and there has been a lot of
I can't name one in recent
memory. There's been more than you probably think of people that are trying to transition receivers to the tight end. Like, it happened a lot for actually it tends to happen, I would say, Mike, to the Johnny Wilson point, Darren Waller even. These guys are going to come in almost guaranteed and try the receiver and then might be willing to pivot to tight end. That's how it's almost always gone. Jordan Matthews, you got Devin Funchess. Like, after they hit their career, basically couldn't pan out. They're not as quick or fast. They put them at the tight end spot. But like, the only one that's actually panned out, as far as when I say panned out, Elijah Higgins is showing promise. I'm not saying he can't become one, right. But I'm talking a guy that has actually meant something for fantasy rosters. The only one is Darren Waller. So, to your point, I'd rather Johnny Wilson be a tight end than a receiver. But I'm kind of like, I guess cost is going to be a big thing. If I can get him like dart throw end of the draft or in waiver wire, throw some fab at him, cool. But I'm kind of like, I'm cautiously backing out probably. Because I feel like if it happens, you know what's going to happen. People are going to freak out. Like, oh, dude, this guy could be a great tight end. Like, this could end up being somebody. And then I'm like, I don't know if I really want to invest on that gamble, if that makes sense.
That's fair. On the negative side, though, like a guy like Trey Knox, that's going to be a hard pass for me. With what we know from Raz now, he could still come out and run at his pro day. For whatever reason, he didn't run the 40, but he decided to do the agility drills, all the other testing. Right. But he came in at a 4 Raz. So with that size, that's a dude I just cross off the list. I don't care what my priors were on him at this point.
That's going to be a no from me, dog.
Right. Like, he really needs to come out and do, like, a pro day where they hand time or whatever, you get the pro day time where it's, like, 4, 5, 6, something like that. So you adjust it to a 4, 6, 1, you know, somewhere in the 4, 6s, and then you plug that into the Raz thing, and then all of a sudden you go, okay, now you kind of have a more complete picture of what his Raz is going to be. But for right now, it's a hard pass.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess, you know, that's actually something I was thinking about doing, and I might go back and do, is kind of compare, make sure the people that I'm looking at, like, which one of them were looking at their combine versus their pro day. I always have a hard time when the combine looks really sketchy, and then all of a sudden the pro day is a lot better, and, like,
right.
We're just going to give you the pro day. Like, that's what we do. Right. Just, that other shit didn't happen. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time just not unseeing it. You know what I mean?
I get you. Yep. All right. How about the quarterback position? We didn't get a whole lot of on-field testing. Yeah, we never really do. I mean,
fair.
It'd always be fun. I always think, like, man, how awesome it would be if Michael Vick came out and ran the 40, you know, when he came out. Lamar Jackson. Come on, man. I want to see a 4.3 40 from a quarterback.
We got one nice little fast 40, you know.
Yeah. We got some movers, but actually on-field work was a big thing. Penix throwing, Bo Nix throwing, J.J. McCarthy throwing, Joe Milton. Joe Milton's the easy one for me. Like, I think it's a winner from the perspective of it. There's going to be a lot of casual people who've never seen Tennessee play football and watch Joe Milton film. Where I'm completely honest, Adam, if you just dropped you into Saturday and Joe Milton's out on the field doing what he's doing, you think Joe Milton's the best quarterback in this entire class? I mean, you're like, how the hell could the team not take this guy number one? He's amazing.
I remember maybe it was his very first throw. Like, it looks egregious because he's sitting there waiting, and you're like, you're letting him go too far, bro. And I think the first time he was a little bit under, and you're like, bro, you look like a clown. What are you doing? And then the next one, he like maybe overshot him. Then he just started peppering these throws right on the money. And he pulled like the Gil Arenas almost on the one where it was on its way. He drops the hand and like, like, all right, I see what you're doing. We got you.
He looked amazing.
He definitely has. I mean, like, he has a rifle. I mean, that thing is a cannon. But I don't know. Am I allowed to say I don't care?
No, I'm not gonna say I don't care. Like, I'll probably be interested just a little bit. We're talking fifth round, Adam. Like, he's just sitting out there, a priority free agent. How about that?
Oh, sorry. I mean, I don't care. Like, that, nothing that took place for...
Right.
It didn't move at anything for me. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
It didn't really change other than a nice storyline to talk about. But I do love it out there, like the swagger that he had. He looks like an Adonis. He's chucking the ball all over the place.
It was also footwork
was ass, but
that's okay. What I was going to say. Like, when he was actually, like, sitting there not moving at all, like, the feet are just completely at a standstill before he rifles it, it was like, man, that looks crazy. This looks nuts.
Yeah, like, if you got him in a game of flag football, you know, where you got to do, like, 5 Mississippi before you rush the quarterback, he's the MVP, man. Ain't nobody. He's the MVP. He's the greatest quarterback ever. But there's still some hope, right? He has some issues, but also, too, just evaluating Joe Milton, I think those issues can be corrected with coaching. Now, it's a lot of work, but my biggest, like, hope, like a perfect scenario, Adam, is he gets, like, fifth round draft capital to an NFL team, you know, kind of like Cardale Jones back in the day, except for the difference is they take whatever magic fairy dust, magic coordinators and quarterback coaches that they used on Josh Allen between, you know, year 2 and year 3, and just use that. Sprinkle it on Joe Milton, and all of a sudden in 5 years, we're like, Joe Milton's the 101 of your Superflex startup drafts.
Bam. What? Let me ask you, did you take any put any stock into what Keaton Slovis did?
No, at the, absolutely none. Don't care.
Man, shoot the messenger. Why don't
you ask the question? I'm just being honest. I don't care.
Okay. Next question. We're on to Cincinnati.
I didn't think he was that athletic, so it was a nice surprise. So it's good to talk about, man. 4.55. Good for you.
I mean,
still bad at playing quarterback.
I guess for me, I don't actually move it.
No.
But I would say that like if he, for example, right? If you're talking about quarterbacks that you don't invest in, like waiver wire quarterbacks, stashes, right?
Possibility. There you go.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about, where it's like, okay, well, if somehow, some crazy way, obviously I don't expect him to have a chance to start very often, if at all, but if he got behind center, like, all right, the super flex, see what happens, best ball, maybe just, you know, roll it out there.
From the combine, like probably the biggest takeaways were from the on-field work. So I'll start at the top. The broadcast, NFL sources, everybody seems to really love J.J. McCarthy, right? It's not a pipe dream anymore, top 10. I mean, we're talking possible top 5. I still think it's too rich. I'm not a huge fan. I thought his on-field work was okay. Some people thought it was fantastic, which, I mean, this is part of the process, right? I take in other people's opinions, too, kind of form my own. But I think now for your rookie drafts, dynasty purposes, right? Like JJ McCarthy is now like locked into that top 7, right? Like there's almost no question in my mind. Interesting enough, I just got done doing a mock draft with Cody Carpenter from Roster Watch. That'll be out, I think, either the day this drops or the following day. But I took JJ McCarthy 104, Adam. First 4 picks are quarterbacks off the board. Super flex mock. I took him over Marv, Malik, Roma Dunze. Easily. I mean, if we're going to talk about a quarterback who's potentially right now, like, hey, we could have quarterbacks 1, 2, 3, 4 in the NFL draft, or 1, 2, 3, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6, whatever, worst case scenario.
Right.
I'm in, man. I'm in. Say less. He's got the tools. He's got the talent. I thought he was fine. They did the throwing speed, which was interesting. Milton at a 62, but JJ, no slouch, 61 on that laser, firing it into that pad. It's like, geez, hello, JJ. I was not aware of this. You know, I knew you had a good arm. I didn't know it was Joe Milton level. That's how I'm going to grade everybody from now on.
Joe
Milton level arm.
The Joe Milton level arm is the threshold. You gotta love that.
As far as the rest of them, though, for on-field work, Michael Penix looked really, really good. Really good. And by all reports of the combine, too, medicals came back great on him. So stock up for him, at least in my mind. Clearly separated himself from Bo Nix, who I thought was horrible. Had a terrible day at the combine, in my opinion. Some people disagree, but that's fine. Spencer Rattler, nice surprise. We knew it at the Senior Bowl from the reports coming out for him, so I moved him above Bo Nix. So Spencer Rattler is going to be one of those guys in the 3rd, 4th round, Adam. Kind of like you're talking about with Keaton Slovis, that's a guy I'm willing to throw a pick in. And then another guy I'll put just ahead of Keaton Slovis, Adam, in kind of in that same realm. But I thought Devin Leary had a great day. Great day throwing the rock. So those were my quarterback takeaways, all from the on-field stuff. Nothing from Caleb. I know he didn't do anything. Doesn't really matter. Drake May. Same thing. Don't really care. we know what those guys are. Jaden Daniels, yes. If you're Jaden Daniels at this point, coming off the Heisman, stand on business, man. Like, here's my tape. Here's what it is. You guys want to draft J.J. McCarthy above me? Fine. But I'm not falling out of the top 5, top 10 either. So.
Yeah, no, fair. I mean, absolutely. Let me ask you then. Let's go to the... I don't know. For me, I guess I will say Keaton Slovis, you just look at Raz and you look at 40 times, you would be very surprised at the company.
The company he's in.
The company of speed he has, honestly. And I'll just say I'm not investing. I'm not going to use a draft pick and stash him. I don't think I'm going to do that, Mike. I don't care that much. But if it's like waiver wire and we're talking really deep best ball, or we're talking... Like, I don't, at that point, Mike, it's off-season fab, too. If I end up cutting him, I end up cutting him, right? But, like, if there's a chance he gets behind center, just wouldn't be surprised if he runs for 50 yards one game. I mean, you know.
Could he be Tommy DeVito, right? Tommy Cutlets was a little bit mobile than we thought, huh?
Yeah,
out there,
I mean,
just scrambling around.
I mean, it's I'm just saying that it surprised me. It's how
I
about
get
that?
You. It didn't, right, that's good.
I'm not actually going to like freak out, but I'm just saying I did not expect anyone running a, you know, sub 4.6 at the quarterback at this position. Let me just go. Let's pivot though. That I don't have anything else on the quarterbacks. Let's go to running backs here. We'll finish. We'll do the grand finale with receivers. But curious, where you're at here. We saw a lot of different things at the combine, but I don't know if you had anyone you want to start off with in particular.
Well, let's start off with a lot of people's big winner in their mind, which I'm pleasantly surprised by how he performed at the combine, and grateful that now it's going to get pushed up into my rookie round, first round, and I won't have to take him. So, Trey Benson. He's seen the things out there, right? A lot of people already comping him. Hey, he performed very similar to Breece Hall. I can tell you on tape, they are definitely not the same, though. Not even close. I think that's probably like the biggest takeaway I have is now the RB1 waters became even more muddied. So I think for me, the best thing for, especially for us in these pre-NFL rookie drafts that we do, you know, I think we're up to like 20 of them or something like that. I think it's probably the best thing because now you don't really have to worry about it. I just let everybody else take running backs in the early to mid part of the second round. And, you know, I just grab a guy or something in the late second, early third. And I probably got the same likelihood of finding the guy who's actually going to get the draft capital and get the role and get the production. But good to see, like, Jalen Wright, Trey Benson go out there and just shine. The Marshawn Lloyd thing was very interesting, too, just how he performed. Because his athletic comps and everything, size and everything is going to come in at DeAndre Swift. And for you and I, being big DeAndre Swift lovers for his entire career so far, it's like, oh, hello, now you have my attention. So
right.
If a guy like Marshawn Lloyd, for example, we just did I just did that mock with Cody, right? And, you know, he took Trey Benson, he took Jonathan Brooks, he took Braylon Allen or whatever, and I just kept taking receivers. And then finally it was like what was left for me was like, yeah, I'll be happy just settling at the 210 with Marshawn Lloyd. Like, this is fine. Because I may have the guy that who's actually the best out of the guys that you know, you took at 201 or 202. So Marshawn Lloyd was pretty impressive, too. And then Jalen Wright just going out there and absolutely being a freak. You know, you saw the Alvin Kamara comps. It was easy because of Tennessee and kind of the same build. But athletically, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, What about your guy, though? Guarendo, man.
Called that one on this show, man.
I was going to
pay attention.
I was paying attention. I saw it. Love it. We got the best RAS score of the running back group, and you don't bring it back up? I was waiting.
Hey, we're getting there, man. But that's more, we got to start with the top guys and then move down, okay? I did move them up my ranks a little bit.
There's no one atop Guarendo in the RAS score. They didn't have there was not a better, like, overall performance from the running back position. If you're just all the other things aside, just the combine itself.
So I redid my ranks right after the combine, Adam. He came in at 11th in running back. And not going to lie, sitting here looking at it, I think I might actually be a little bit too low on where I want. I started
I don't think you're going to end up getting him at 11, no.
No. Well, I started digging into him a little bit more, especially after we talked last week. And then the combine was like, holy shit, like this guy really is a freak athlete.
Right.
And I'm kind of expecting that I'm going to go see a Kenny Nwangwu. That's really what I'm kind of expecting. Like when I go and look at the numbers, you know, how he performed, analytical profile, you know, like why was this guy always a backup, right?
Right.
That's kind of what I was projecting. And then you go and you look at it in his final year last year, and some of the key metrics, Derek Brown brought this up on his podcast this week, talking about him. Like he's top 15 out of this class in like a lot of these metrics, like not just in this class, in the entire country in a lot of these metrics, like breakaway run rate, which is like a huge thing for running backs. Like, okay, sure, you got this 4.33 speed, you're this elite RAS guy, but how come you never broke away from people? Like actually when you got the football in, he did. like yards created, missed tackles, force, like that kind of stuff. And you're like, okay, this boy can move. He does have some concerns on his tape. I know Pat Fitzmaurice brought up the fact that he always thought he was kind of a weaver instead of a cutter, which is a little bit concerning. But this is the guy, Isaac Arendo, you definitely need to go back and like dive into the tape his final year at Louisville and see what he's working with. And from all accounts, too, a lot of people who are Louisville fans said, like, the people were, like, pushing. Like, why the hell isn't he getting more run? Kind of like Jalen Warren and Najee Harris last year. It's like you see the guy out there on the field get the majority of the carries, and then you got this nice guy who comes in and spells him and, like, just looks so much better. And you go, why the hell isn't this guy getting more run? So maybe that's the kind of situation we're dealing with, too. And talked about it last week, Adam. Behind some pretty good running backs. In his career on why he had to transfer from Wisconsin. So I do understand the Isaac Arendo hesitation. But I think I am going to move him up, Adam. He's just too much Antonio Gibson for me to not get in on it, right? Like that darling Raz freak that comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, yeah, you know, early third, why not?
I mean... What's the down? The only downside to me about him is if his cost ends up getting too inflated, right?
If he becomes a second rounder, I think I'm with you. I'm out.
I will say this though: at the end of the day, Mike, overall, not much from the combine, like made me think, all right, I'm super out on this guy, or like, oh my god, I'm so in. There are some guys I liked. I think Blake Corum, I don't understand it. I think he did exactly what I expected him to do. Like, that's not a bad thing, by the way. Like, I just, right. I expected him to be, like, I think he just fits the guy that is going to do the right thing. And that opportunity could end up being exponential for a guy that just does what the coach wants all the time. And it's kind of what he looked like at the combine to me. He's probably a little better than some people were hoping or expecting, I guess I should say. But overall, like, a little worried about Bucky Irving's metrics overall.
It was abysmal.
I think he could still be a good pass catcher, but, like, that was probably, like, one bad one. Overall, though, like, most of them were fine for me, honestly. I think the reality is going to draft capital and opportunity with that team, for me, is going to really determine a lot. Right now, it's fun to re-rank and reassess, but I can tell you for me at the running back position, the draft capital and what the running back room looks like and what their potential opportunity workload is versus cost is honestly going to be how I draft these guys. That's what it's going to come down to.
So the Bucky Irving one, this is an Iowa dig right here. there was a running back once upon a time at Iowa that I could have swore to you was going to be the next coming, like, you know, you thought Sean Green was good. Just wait till you see this guy in the NFL. I watched him absolutely just embarrass, like, Michigan when they were high-ranked at one point. Like, you remember Jabril Peppers, like, his senior year, you kind of had – or not, it might have been his junior year. He had that the Heisman-like level kind of, like, hype as a defender coming in.
Yep.
And I watched him just body bag Jabril Peppers one time. And, yeah, snap his ankles in half. It's great. Shifty, couldn't be touched. I'm sure like the metrics probably at the time were fine.
Yeah.
Great. Comes to the combine and just absolutely shits the bed. Never becomes a thing in the NFL. Bucky Irving's comp is a lot like Akram Wadley from Iowa. Now, if you go, who? Exactly. It's not good. They are very, very similar. They measured it at the same size. They play the same, in my opinion. Akram Wadley did a lot of work in the receiving game. Very shifty, great. Bucky Irving's film is nice. Like, we watch Bucky Irving's film, and he's making the right cut, the right read. Shifty, hard to take down. Akram Wadley did the same shit and never became anything. But they go to the combine. They both measure in at 5'9". They both weigh like 190, 195 for Akram Wadley. 40-yard dash in the 4.5s. Splits. Okay, not that great. Jumping, actually, Akram Wadley had a 32-inch vertical. Bucky at a 29.5. That's not good, Adam. 29.5-inch vertical. Like, I might have a 23-inch vertical, and I'm, you know, 315 pounds of fat. Disgusting.
I'd be willing to even, you know, maybe take the over on that, you know?
20. Well, we'll have an NFL combine at the expo, right? We'll have the expo combine. We'll set it up.
I'll commentate. I've seen some things down in the expo. I don't know that I want to, you know, that's end fair. Up on the injured reserve list right before the season. But, Mike, I think it's funny that, okay, and I think using Kyren as a, like, it's not a death sentence, or if you just get the right opportunity, you can overcome it. But, like,
that's the correct way to look at it.
We should not be celebrating the fact that they have the same RAS score.
That's the correct way to look at it, Adam. Is it's not a death sentence because of this. I've seen it before, but it's probably unlikely. It's the finish to that statement. Okay. You shouldn't go, well, Kyren did this, so Bucky could do it too.
It's right. It should not be a celebrated thing. Like they have the same RAS score.
So they're the same. No.
This is a guy that had a very bad day and does not look like he's very explosive. All the stuff that you're hoping for in a running back, that's not there. Now, again, it's not to say that it's the end-all be-all, but it is a uphill battle for a guy that in the NFL may not be that athletic.
Love it. That's a great way to look at it. He had a terrible day. Cody Schrader also did, but I know he got hurt. Kind of just meh on him. Audric Estime, his RAS score is going to come in fine because he's built like a tank or unit. That 40 was abysmal, though. It'll probably just end it for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you go 4.7, Mike, at the running back position. I was actually looking. If you haven't, you don't have to look very hard. But when you go to the 4.7 mark, combine since laser, Mike, it's not that long of a list where people are actually, like, they, you know, come out of the blocks. They're going to do the combine, the 40, and they go 4.7 or north. Like, it's a shorter list than you'd think.
So one of the interesting things, too, out of this combine, at least, there were so many people who ran terrible 40s, Adam. But then you go and you look at their jumping, and it's an elite category for their size. And it was very head-scratching to me because usually, you know, vertical explosion, you know, and broad jump, obviously that's part vert, but also horizontal. That kind of explosion in your legs leads you to be a faster runner, like a sprinter type, right? Not necessarily the case for some of these guys. Like 38-inch vertical for Audric Estime at 5'11", 220, like built and rocked up like he was. I was like, dang, this boy about to come out here and run at least a 4.5 40, right? And then he had that 10.5 broad jump, and you're like, oh, yeah. Hey, everything fits. Comes out 4.72, 4.72 unofficial, and then 4.71 as his official time. Terrible 10-yard split, too.
Yeah, well, I mean,
yikes.
If you just think in a vacuum, if you're a really good athlete, you could jump. You think, okay, there's a chance you could be fast. Now, I will say, you might be surprised if you start looking at, like, overall profiles. They don't always go hand in hand. However, like, it is probably, you start getting into the smaller percentages where one is really bad and one is really good, right? Typically, it's not like that that split. You won't see it. Like, you can blaze. But, yeah, every now and again, though, you do see it, Mike, where someone can blaze, they just can't jump really high and vice versa. So, that one was interesting. Obviously, everyone wants us to get to the receiver position. But before we do, I just want one more on, I wanted to get your thoughts on. Where are we at with Ray Davis?
He was fine. It was a great story, too. I had no idea about his story either. Like, that was actually pretty awesome. So, pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
Ray Davis gained a new fan, and I'm sure based on that, he gained a ton of fans for people watching that coverage. So go check out his story. It's amazing. Performed better than I thought, too. He's interesting, too, because of his production profile. The age thing's going to come into it, but it's a running back position. I don't really give a shit, man. It's the same thing when Najee Harris came out, and they're like, oh, he's an old running back. People. Okay, we're not drafting rookie running backs thinking we're keeping them for 4 years. If I get 2 years out of them, I'm happy.
Not the Ray Davis types.
Not the Ray Davis types, yes.
Yeah, we're not looking at our, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, our Breeze Halls, our Bijans in this class, all right?
Like, correct.
I know Trey Benson, you know, looked good at the combine, but we're talking about people that if you got a 4-year running back shelf life of like realistic meaning in fantasy, you probably hit gold. That's probably going to be very few and far between in this class.
Right.
I think I kind of like it as like, go ahead. I'll take the bully. You know, I'll take the older, you know, grunt guy, hard working. I'm like actually kind of am intrigued by him. Like he checked, I'll put it like this. The reason I'm intrigued is because I think he's good enough as far as the measurables. And I think it's one of those where like Lance Zierlein on NFL.com, I like sometimes looking at his prospect grades. And I think his, what he said with Ray Davis to me is exactly the way I'm viewing it. A good backup with potential to develop into a starter. That's exactly how I feel about him on my fantasy teams.
There you go.
I'm going to draft him. He's going to be a backup. If it's a best ball, he's just going to sit there, and hopefully I don't have to cut him because he's dead weight. If it's in lineup, he's going on taxi until he develops into a starter, which is probably going to come via the way of the injury. That's the way I'm viewing him. Exactly.
Which is really how we should have all been valuing last year's running back class, like Kendre Miller, Zach Charbonnet, etc. Right? That's the bucket that they should have been in from the first place, but different. New year, new class. All of a sudden, Ray Davis, we're talking about him in the third round. Those guys were back in first.
Right. I mean, yeah. And to the point, the reason, we already touched on the quarterbacks, but we didn't touch on almost all the ones that matter because none of them really did much. Now, let's get into the fact that you add the quarterbacks. You put Brock Bowers in the mix. And I don't know what some people are saying on Twitter. I'm ready to kind of, if they care to listen, they probably don't. But I'm ready to fight the good fight if that's what needs to happen for this receiver class. So
there you go. I'm ready to fight the fight too. But before I get out, let's talk about a running back who's a converted wide receiver that I just want people to pay attention to. Iowa bias, but Tyrone Tracy had himself a damn day at the combine.
Okay. I was going to ask you, Boilermaker, where are you at with him? I mean, are you buying in?
Right behind Guerrero, and I think I'm still too low.
Interesting.
I'm buying in.
Guerrero, maybe it's because I watched him. I saw him. I watched a little more because it was so good. Maybe I need to go back and watch a little more.
Here's a name I'll throw out to you. Ty Montgomery.
Oh. It's like, you know what, Ty Montgomery is one of those where you just hope you capture it at the right time. And you just let it be what it is. Right?
You hit Ty Montgomery at the early part. Yeah, you were.
Right. People may forget because he was around for a while, right? But there was a, relative to his career, a small window. But there was a window where Ty Montgomery is like, yeah, I want that 88 bat in the backfield. Yeah, let me get that guy. You know,
let me get that
yep. wide receiver back there.
Yep, fantasy producer. So Tyrone Tracy. But let's move on to the wide receivers. Like you said, the creme de la creme of this class. Quarterbacks
where do you
are amazing,
start, buddy. Let's
start with probably the biggest storyline because the guy broke a damn NFL record. Xavier Worthy.
Where are you? Okay. Let's start with the creme de la creme of the creme de la creme. Mike, where are you at with I'll put it like this. I'll let you take the floor and you tell me what you're at. Everybody knew he was fast. I talked about how, you know, it's been reported that he'd run a 4.29 in high school. Now, the problem with some of these things is, I mean, where is this? Is it hand time? Like, how reliable is this? We've seen plenty of people say they're going to do something like smash a combine 40 and then they don't even run sub 4.3. That happens a lot. But to your point, he came out, goes 4.21. Now, he tied John Ross and then beats John Ross. And, Mike, I will say that to me, the craziest part was I don't. And obviously, it's the GOAT 40, so it kind of makes sense. But I've never seen flawless form before. That was from out of the blocks all the way through. Like, you cannot be more flawless in the form and technique that you had in the 40.
Correct.
But overall, that being said, we all knew he was going to be fast. Does the 4.21 change anything for you, or does it stay the same? Where are you at with it?
Stays the same. We did the film session on Texas the night before. And we watched him. And I came away from there going like, I got to move Xavier Worthy up my ranks. Not only does he play fast, he runs routes fast. He's very crisp. Elite separator. Great after the catch, surprisingly. Just runs away from top tier people, right? He's bouncing like bubble screens to the outside or these little sweep plays that he has. And it's like, he looks like he's dead to rights and could just outrun everybody to the edge. And I'm like, okay, that's play speed too, right? It's not just a mirage. Especially where we're at too, just watching like Devontae Smith hit a couple years ago, watching Tank Dell hit, watching Zay Flowers, like these smaller build wide receivers go out there and absolutely just tear up the NFL at times. Size wasn't a concern anymore. The only thing that was concerning about watching Xavier Worthy's tape is sometimes like he's putting his head down and like trying to run through somebody. And I'm like, ah, don't do that shit at the next level. You're going to get massacred by one of these 240 pound crazy linebackers. Okay. But don't do that shit anymore, please. But he looked amazing. So I had moved him up already Friday. Saturday was the confirmation where it was like, yes, welcome to the show. The Xavier Worthy show. Forget the drops, concentration stuff. Moved him up. Now, the only problem for Xavier Worthy is the rest of the class is absolutely stacked, so there's only so high I can move a guy like that. I think if you're moving him up into the top three after just a 40, you're definitely doing the combine wrong. But he's amazing. Locked in first rounder. All these pie-in-the-sky things where they're like, we're going to put him to the Chiefs at 32. Hate to break it to y'all, but he ain't going to be there at 32 for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, he might go to the Chiefs, just he won't do it at 32. They're going to have to go get
their guy. They better trade up.
Patty's going to have to go get his guy. It's not going to be like CEH falling in their lap, even though I don't know that he really fell in their lap. I think they just kind of reached. But point here, Mike, I'll say this. The question I have, like I've been kind of toying with it a little bit in my mind. Like before I address the speed, I do think I am, from things I've seen on film, there's – like, I do see some things. I think that right now I've seen especially certain techniques. Now, it's not to say he's clearly athletic enough, I think, to refine his route running.
Yes.
But I see a lot of inefficiency in, like, the way he uses his feet. I think he can get a lot better or should be better at separating. And sometimes I think he is actually so athletic that he can be lazy because he's playing versus college guys. And I don't know that that's going to always translate when you're playing in the NFL, because he's going to have to, I think he's got some things to improve and address as a route runner. But I will say in the elite tier, as far as speed goes, which is the 4.21 he just set to 4.29, like sub 4.3, nobody in that range has actually, how do you phrase this? Has put together the college resume that he has, I will say.
There you go. Right, and John Ross never.
Right.
Never.
Now,
Xavier Worthy was doing what John Ross' best season was as a freshman.
Right. So I will already say that in the range that he's in, there's more to like with his game. I'm still concerned overall, but I'll say this. The 4.21, what I'm intrigued by is, I think people sometimes can underestimate the margins. Now, I think he was supposed to run fast, so like I wasn't going to be like, oh my gosh, he ran a unbelievable 40. But I just want the only question for me, and right now I don't move it much, but if you're 4.21, how much of that is actually technique, or how much of that is you are different than everybody else out there? Because if you are seriously on the margins faster than everybody in the arena, like, you may end up making plays that you shouldn't. Like, nothing about Henry Ruggs off the field, but just on the field, there was times where we were not necessarily as a community that high on him, but you'd see him make a crazy play. Like, what if Worthy can make more of those because he is so athletic? That's the thing I haven't really, I'm toying with my mind, like, if I should change it or not. But I'm still, I will say overall, I like him. I'm probably lower than the majority. I'm a little worried with some of his technique and footwork, but I think that as far as what he put on display, I mean, at minimum, you have to give like credit where it's due. The guy is a blazer. So he is someone that can stretch the field. He's proven to be at least what you thought of him, whatever that was, and there's possible for more.
I like it. I like it. I moved him up to 5. It's my wide receiver 5.
I have him, I think I got him a little lower than you. Let me pull mine up. But that's not too far from where I'm at. Let's see here. I have him at Actually, Mike, I have him right where I had him before, actually. And we'll get into all the other guys ahead of him, but I have him at 9. And if you hear that and you're like, you're crazy, I'm not going to say that you can't feel that way. But the people in front of him right now, like, none of them I either can move down or they bumped up too. So let's keep going.
How about his college teammate, guy right across from him?
This is the guy, Mike. I'm curious your thoughts because I'll admit, okay,
I left with more questions from the combine.
Really?
I told you I watched the tape on Friday night, and I was like, I'm good on Adonai. Like I'm just good. Too many times I see him not even trying, half-ass running a route, not looking for the football. You know, Quinn Ewers just throwing him a bomb, and he's already stopped his route. Like, I don't know what to do with it. And then he makes a highlight play, or he absolutely snaps some dude's ankles off on a route, and I'm like, okay. It's inconsistent at best. Now, can he clean it up? Yeah. But the comp I have, and maybe it's just because they played at Georgia together, they kind of have the same build, but it's George Pickens-esque. Mm-hmm. And GP has had some moments in the NFL, but as a whole, Adam, I think you can agree, he's been very inconsistent. His value's kind of all over the place. You know, some people love him, some people hate him. You at one point were very big on him, and I told you at the time in season, I'm like, well, just see what happens when Deontay comes back. And all of a sudden it went back to like Deontay being the focal point and George Pickens not really doing anything. I don't know what to do with him. I don't know what to do with Adonai. And then you come out and you see how athletic he is, how well he tests, and you're like, it's probably the most infuriating thing ever. Like, you have the ability to dominate. You just choose not to. And he gave that combine answer to about, you know, I only run my routes at like 85% so I can save myself for the end of the game. And it's like, you know, by the time the end of the game came around, either your team already lost or it's like, it's too late. I don't know what to do with you. And I, so the inconsistency is going to be, I don't know. This is one of the guys where usually if I watch tape on somebody and they come out and they have a good combine, it kind of confirms what you've seen on tape, or vice versa, right? Maybe somebody performs very well at the combine. I didn't have a great opinion of them on tape. I go back and, you know, see what I missed. I go back on Adonai probably 1,000 times, and I'm still going to come back with more questions. And you're going to ask, like, Mike, where would you draft him? I don't know. Could I see you drafting him at the 108, 109? Yeah. Yeah, I could. Could I also see that I might not touch him until the mid part of the second round? Yeah, very likely. So Adonai, I walked away with more questions than anything else. But combine was the athletic testing was amazing. The on-field work, in my opinion, was terrible. Saw a ton of drops, terrible route running, just didn't look great. One of the worst. And there's only one other guy out there that I would put in that category of the worst on-field drills that really just combine takeaway at the wide receiver position where I was like, I'm kind of good on this guy now.
Interesting. I mean, I will admit, yeah, that there was definitely some the drops. As far as what he's put on tape, like as far as what he did in Texas, he was not someone that dropped the football a lot. So
correct. Yeah, he only had the one drop all year credited to him.
Right. So I think, like, don't get me wrong, I'm with you. Like, you don't want to see someone come to the combine as a receiver and drop the freaking football. But at the end of the day, like, for fantasy, yeah, it could have been just, it could have been a lot of things. I mean, it could be simply concentration issues at that time. It could have been that he's not used to in that setting and he ends up like letting,
right,
you know, a lot of things. But
it's very structured too. Like, they're making you run from cone to cone. Like,
I think a lot of guys can get in their heads in certain drills like that, right? Where it's not as free flowing in the game.
That is very fair.
I know. I'm not trying to dismiss, for the record, I'm not acting like, you know, that's a good thing that you drop him footballs. But, like, I am to the point with him where, like, to me, the drops were the concern for me. But, like, the combine as a whole, I don't know what you want, man. Like, this guy to me was one of the few guys that I had, like, Mike, I went through it multiple times and I was very torn. Like, I wondered what happened in certain games. I feel like there was games this year where I'm like, why is a guy this like talented or this touted before the combine even, right? Like, why was he kind of MIA, it felt like, certain games?
Yeah, you know? Like, why is Jordan Whittington getting looks and Adonai's not?
Right. And it's like, okay, they lost what? They lost two games this year. They lost to Oklahoma during the regular season. So it's like, all right, well, like, maybe certain games it's just he's okay not being the guy because they're in a good situation, they're winning, whatever, playing with your stuff in your head, right? But Mike, I was torn, and he was in my tier four, and I was like kind of on the mindset that relative to consensus, I'm probably going to be out. But like what he did athletically to me, 9.97, a lot of the things that I think upside he has, Julio 40, like the body, the I don't think, now I get the comp to Pickens, that's what I thought the comp, a good comp was. I know Zuerlein had it. Like, I understand that comp. But, Mike, there's just, when I go back and look upside-wise, given what talent could become, tantalizing upside, you're going to have a hard time pointing to, like, you're going to have to go through years to find many of this type of, like, upside player. For me, I think I'm, as long as the draft capital checks out, like pre-NFL draft right now, where I know it today, I'm going to assume the draft capital is going to check out because it just seems like it is. So I have him currently at 5. I went from – he was one that was at, I think, my wide receiver 8-ish, and I went to my wide receiver 5. So he's in the tier for me with Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin, I almost moved out. There were some things I didn't like what I saw. I don't want to spoil that part. But for me, Adonai was a winner at the Combine, and I'll say this. I know he's polarizing. I'm – probably at this point still not going to get him in a lot of spaces because I think he's going to end up with the hype going, to your point, like bananas. He's going to probably end up going 108. And at that point, I'd rather probably take Brian Thomas Jr. because he had a heck of a day at the Combine too.
I get you. Troy Franklin, though, good caveat into there. I thought he was kind of a Combine, let's not say he's not a loser, but he was a Combine loser as far as perception of him.
I love the way you phrase that.
The weight is going to be a lot of people's focus. Don't focus on that. I don't really care. The weight was, it doesn't matter to me. The 40, the athletic testing was fine. But the actual on-field drills, it's going to stick out. That gauntlet drill is going to be a low light played over and over and over this draft season in regards to Troy Franklin. People are going to keep pointing to that. I get it. That's not really his game. But you would have liked to see him run more crisp routes. He definitely has the athleticism, the build to do it. He did it sometimes on tape at Oregon. Sometimes he just went off of pure speed. He kind of just had one move. Struggled to run certain types of routes. Some of it I did attribute when we watched to it. Like, maybe it's just my Bo Nix hate. But his quarterback definitely didn't do him any favors. You know, for Bo Nix being as completely accurate as you know, people want to throw out there that stat and setting the record, Troy Franklin would run a great slant route, you know, have 3 yards of separation, and Bo Nix would throw it at his knees, and he's got to go down and get it. Like, if you hit him in stride, if you think about, like, how Tua does it with Tyreek. Now, Tua doesn't have the greatest arm, but point to a lot of people who throw a better, like, dig route than Tua and how they draw that up for Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. If he puts it on the numbers like that, like they do in Miami, like Tua does with those receivers, Troy Franklin could have done some of the same things, right? Where he just absolutely houses a, you know, 80-yard touchdown at the end because he ran a 5-yard slant route. But at the combine, on-field drills, chalk it up to some of Adonai Mitchell. I kind of put him in the same bucket. It was just like, okay, you guys tested – Adonai tested elite athletically. So to your point, like, that kind of puts him in a little bit of a different bucket. Troy Franklin tested fine, as expected. But both on-field drills were like, ugh, like, not that great.
It's fair for both. So Troy Franklin, honestly, for me, Mike, that talking about him, I think the way you phrased it in perception is such a big and well-used term. In that, like, I think almost talking about him, Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin, when I say him, I was talking about, you know, Adonai Mitchell. A lot of people are saying he is him, but
Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, AD him. But, like, honestly, so here's what I say, okay? I just want to give some perspective to your point about the combine and the class. All right, Mike, I had DB, shout out Dynasty Barry, my guy, go through and pull, do some data digging and pull some, like, since they put the laser intact, right? So it's
laser timed.
Yeah. Okay. So it was actually technically 1999, but the times that we have 2020 and beyond. So That's what we have in this database that I'm pulling from, okay? Right now, for obviously Xavier Worthy's in the number one spot now, okay? When you go past the four twos, which everybody there is basically missed, for the record, as far as what we wanted or hoped in fantasy. You get to the 4-3 range, all right? Mike, it's like, just to give perspective, okay, Will Fuller, think about how many times, like, you watch in fantasy, Will Fuller's running away from everybody. Like, that's all. Just Watson throws it up to him. He's just uncontested touchdowns.
Yep.
4-3-2. Okay? You got, in this range, just to give, Brian Thomas Jr., like, think about what Will Fuller was coming out of Notre Dame. Got the first-round draft capital.
Right, 5'11".
Right. Put him next to Brian Thomas Jr. and tell me they run the same thing.
Brian Thomas, 6'3 plus.
Brian Thomas is a size speed freak.
210 pounds.
I said it could be the case after the combine. I did not expect him to run a 4.33 for perspective.
He's like, moving.
We're talking about all the receivers that have ever tested, okay? He's 33rd, and Mike, I'm telling you, ahead of him is nobody that you really think of. Names that you could even probably like conceptualize on the field and roles that mattered, all right? So you got Dante Stallworth, John Ross, Anthony Schwartz, just a track star that wasn't a wide receiver, we found out. Henry Ruggs, we all know what happened there, unfortunately. Rondale Moore, Darius Hayward-Bay, Velus Jones, Paris Campbell, Curtis Samuel, one of the guys that, you know, gave you some stuff. Santana Moss, going back to 2001. But, like, the other names littered throughout here, you're talking about completely irrelevant as far as, like, the guys. So, what I'm telling you is, even with all those included, he's a top 30 all-timer. You're looking at, he's faster than, just to give names again, DK Metcalf, Brandon Cooks, Jamar Chase at a pro day. Jamar Chase's pro day, he beat at the combine.
An LSU pro day.
Right. Mike, I mean,
we know those are juiced.
Julio Jones, he's.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Who was the other LSU wide receiver who came out with Chase? They had that LSU pro day. Played for the Titans. Racy McMath.
Thank you.
McMath. Do you remember his 40 was like a 4.3 something too? And you're like, who the hell is Racy McMath?
It was like, wait, did they give him the same time? They got the same time. But Mike, just think though. Keep this going. T.Y. Hilton, Julio Jones, Elijah Moore, Terry McLaurin, and Kevin White flopped out, but absolute blazer. Calvin Johnson, DeSean Jackson. He's running faster 40s than all these guys, man.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I want to say that, and then go to Adonai Mitchell, who, again, is going to be in lockstep with, you know, DJ Chark, T.Y. Hilton, Julio Jones. That's the same. So just to understand, When those two guys run that level of speed, it's going to make a 4.41 seem like it's not that great of a thing. I got news for you guys, though. I know he's a little lighter than we wanted. I get it. But that should not be a concern unless it's really, really bad, like a big, huge weight drop, like Rashad Bateman type thing. You're coming in roughly in the same range. Obviously, I'd rather you not be super light, but Mike, 4.41 is still blazing. There are plenty of guys that are running away from the field that did not run a 4.41. So just like contextually, I think that it's almost because he ran the combine at the same time as all these other guys that are destroying what we know humans do for 20-something years. It like perceptionally is pushing him down. But for me, I don't think he had a good day, okay? I don't think it was a plus day. I think he checked most of the boxes. I did not like some of the things, though. Like, for Troy, Mike, the gauntlet for me was really weird. Like, he was running, like, a banana split, like, loop-de-doop-de. Which ended up making his time really slow. Like, I don't know what that was about. There's definitely some things that I wish I wouldn't have seen or didn't happen. But overall, Mike, he's still, to me, possesses what not that many receivers really offer. I definitely have him at the bottom of the tier now, so I have him at my wide receiver 6. But I'm not panicking on Troy Franklin, and if people do, I think I'm happily scooping up shares.
I'll try to rapid fire these ones off here too, because of the wide receiver position. Just know my final takeaway for the wide receiver position is I was fully impressed. Not only are you going to get a lot of first round wide receivers, which is going to make this class just probably one of the best ever from the wide receiver aspect, but you couple in, like you said earlier, Adam, overall rookie strategy, one elite tight end, four quarterbacks with potential top 10 draft capital. This is 2024 is the best dynasty class I've ever seen in my entire dynasty career. So
for sure, for sure. And I just wanted to say, last thing I'll say, that Ladd McConkey, I'm not going to go into massive detail, but Ladd McConkey
killed it.
Is literally, Mike, he's the exact same measurables in athletic testing as Chris Olave.
And Garrett Wilson.
Like, literally with Chris Olave, it's by the actual one-for-one.
I saw that comp, and it's something I can't ever get out of my head. I brought it up to Cody today, too. I said the Ladd McConkey Chris Olave comp's going to live forever, which is a far cry from the Ladd McConkey Hunter Renfrow Bowl that we were hearing earlier.
Well, and my thing is, biggest thing is I'm not trying to comp him to Chris Olave. I think Ladd McConkey's a little more versatile, probably should be utilized out of the slot more. But my point is just that any type of athletic BS, we can hopefully put to bed with him. Coleman, what's that?
That's the great one too, because people do tell on themselves a little bit too when they pigeonhole him into a slot wide receiver. When I asked him, I said he played at the SEC at Georgia, if not the number one or number two SEC team over the last couple years, right? Period. Like that, it's one of the greatest college football teams ever assembled within the last few years. Ladd McConkey, not just a slot wide receiver. He ran over 70% of his routes from the outside. Like, didn't play in the slot a whole lot.
So, right. No, I mean, well,
like, he's going up against SEC, the Terrion Arnolds of the world, the Kool-Aid McKinstrys, right? The LSU DBU that they always tout. And he's doing it from the outside and winning, mind you. The only issue I always had on Ladd is you look at his yards per route run, elite territory. You look at his yards per team pass attempt, and you're like, why is it so low? Well, he's also only playing like 50% of the snaps. What are you doing, Georgia?
Well, that, and I think what I was, at least from what I saw, the games and the plays that I was watching, I did not see a ton of him like running really, really deep routes, like go routes much. So,
yeah.
Like one of the things I believed a lot of the hype that, like, I think he was going to be more athletic than people were giving him credit for. I think that there's obviously the narratives you're bringing up, but Mike, I did not think 4.39 was going to happen. Anyway, he's a big winner for me, and he's at the top of the tier right now, Mike. It's honestly a perception thing. If I see the community and like KTC values come up, he's going into my tier three too.
Let's go,
Keon Coleman, Mike. What's interesting is that 40. If you just watch it, I just want to say this. You already know if you listened to last week that Mike and I are just Keon stans. Okay, so. Miss me with, you know, I'm biased. I don't care. I'll tell you. But he was, when you go back and watch it, Mike, he was so uncomfortable out of the gate. Oh, my goodness. Did you see that?
Terrible. Yeah.
I mean, so that's partly a prep thing. Maybe it's just not something he can do. But when you see what he was doing in the gauntlet, like, can we stop?
Money.
Like, y'all are acting like the dude's slow. Like, I'm not telling you he's a burner. I'm just telling you, he's not some slow receiver that can't play outside.
What'd they track him at, too? Like 20 miles an
hour?
Over
20 miles an hour. He was actually faster than Puka was last year, who was the fastest player. I think he was 20.12 or something like that.
So that's a guy running the gauntlet, full speed, turning his body left and right to catch each pass from each side. Full speed, full out,
right,
and not missing a single one. And unlike Troy Franklin, not running it in a wave, a straight line.
That's
just what they wanted.
Exactly. And to that point, Mike, I think – while you could maybe knock him for the prep, you can't do anything but tell me that he is so solidified and solid in his hands. I'm just going to run this fool. I know I'm catching everything. I'm good.
Arrogant hands.
That's the receivers I want to touch on. But here's the thing, Mike. Everyone we just mentioned there, and we were over time, that all has nothing to do with the fact that this receiving class has two prospects that you could argue – are number one or in the range of number one for years prior.
Gotta break in here. Three.
Well,
three.
I'm talking about the reason I say two is because they didn't test. Yes. All right. We have two guys that we don't even see in the combine. That's right. That's the crazy part. So
the one guy you did out of those three, though, oh, baby, Roba Dudze.
Don't let all the other stuff let you fall asleep on the wheel that Roma Dunze, I believe is like high nines in
9.91. Third best out of the guys who tested this.
Miss
Saturday.
Me with the threads, miss me with the engagement, miss me with all of that. This class receivers is maybe a little better than normal. It's not that. Stop it.
So interesting. I'll leave you with a few guys that I liked at the wide receiver position too that were intriguing. Need to do more homework on, but you got to figure it out soon. Xavier Leggett tested like an absolute animal. Looked great on the field too.
I knew this was going to happen, and I'm just going to tell you, I won't let my heart do it. I told myself I'm not going to buy in because I knew he was going to kill the combine. The dude's a freak. I just the profile for me is just I'm going to force myself out.
What if I told you, Adam?
All right, go ahead.
Me and DB, shout out to DB again. We're talking about this.
Yep.
If I told you he didn't play wide receiver until he got to college, would that help explain why it took 5 years?
I mean, would it help explain? Yes. Would it help me explain how I think it's going to work out in the NFL? Probably not.
That's fair. All right.
But I'll answer your question. Yeah, it would.
Ricky Pearsall obviously dominated. We didn't think that was going to be a thing, but it is. Holy
Ricky
hell.
Ricky Pearsall was the one that no one saw coming, man, for sure.
Talk about another white boy too, man. Luke McCaffrey just outdoing his brother in everything. Like, I see you, Christian. Eat this. He was very impressive. Jalen Polk, another one of my favorites. Really liked him. Now, if you go back 2 years and told me Jalen McMillan's the best wide receiver outside of Roma Dunze, that would be facts. Jalen McMillan also had a monster day at the combine, so check him out. Malik Washington, Brendan Rice, both guys that highly impressed me. Jacob Cowing rebounding from the Senior Bowl stuff. Now, the height's going to be a question, but again, I'm trying not to be a height, weight, speed snob anymore. So Jacob Cowing back into interesting territory for me again. And then I thought, like, Javon Baker, Roman Wilson, those guys were just fine. Probably the biggest guy that I loved coming in or thought I had potential intrigue was Isaiah Williams out of Illinois. After the combine, though, hard pass. Stop. I'm good. So that's one of those dudes I just take him off the board, Adam. We're done.
That's fair. Mike, I'll say there's definitely like a lot of different guys you could have as sleepers. I will say this probably shouldn't be something that you put too much stock into, but I don't know. I have a hard time. Like, it seemed like when I was watching the game versus Michigan, and it's like Washington needs offense. Like, it was very clear that Michigan was not going to let the ball go to Rome. And even then, I'm like, just Penix, just throw it to Rome. Just keep doing it because it's going to work. They're going to get it's going to be a penalty. He's the guy you got to go to.
Right.
But I struggled with, literally, it felt like the other two guys could do nothing. Like, they were, it felt like even though they weren't getting, you know, the Rome treatment, they were just locked. And I don't know, for me, that I will have a, it may not actually be something that I should give it as much stock as I'm doing. Like, when it comes down to, you know, splitting hairs, I can't unsee that. Sorry.
I can get behind it. If my memory serves me, though, I mean, we're on campus can too, so they're going to know better. But
Penix was getting, you know, a ton of pressure all the time.
I'm thinking 2 years ago, though, with Jalen McMillan, at times he was the number one of that team, right? Roma Dunze was kind of an afterthought a little bit, so it was like the Jalen McMillan show. Jalen Polk, on the other hand, has always kind of felt like that number two. And my comp I gave to Cody was Jacoby Myers. Saw that on film. Kind of really felt like a Jacoby Myers. And his comp he gave me was Adam Thielen. And I thought that was amazing because if you were going to pick a comp for Jacoby Myers, I think I would pick Adam Thielen. So it's like it's a full circle.
I like it. I'll say,
it's like the three Spider-Men all pointing at each other. Like, that's what it feels like.
I'll say, Mike, if that's your way of pumping up McMillan, listen, buddy, you can't be putting Rome up in that same tier you were just talking about earlier.
Done.
You know, you can't. Rome's a monster. You cannot have both. You got to pick.
Sure can.
Rome can't be backseating to McMillan and be the
prospect. 2 years ago, he could. Guys. He was younger. He didn't backseat the last year. He didn't backseat last year, though.
Mike, you're talking about those guys. We're talking about the best prospects we've ever seen.
And McMillan was hurt, too. He was hurt quite a bit last year. But anyways, I would still do it.
Listen, hey, just unhear that part and you'll be
listen,
fine.
Listen, if Emeka Ibuka had come out this year, it's no slight against Marvin Harrison whatsoever that I also would love Ibuka. Okay? No slight.
You can love Ibuka, but he never said, Marv was never taking no back seat. That's the difference.
Well, I mean, it'd be better if you go look at it. Marv didn't break out, what, till the last game of his freshman year? The game against Utah? Him and JSN went ballistic.
I mean, I guess if you want to say, like, he set the world on fire, yeah. But he was out there doing his thing.
He did some things as a freshman. Okay. Right. That great. Yeah, okay. That's all I'm pointing to. When they were both there, Jalen McMillan, as a true freshman, we were like, whoa, who's this guy? That's all I'm getting to, Adam. Okay? Now, since then, they've gone in opposite directions. Be the same thing, though, if you went as true freshman, Emeka Ibuka stood out more than what Marv did. Is that a slight against Marv?
Rome, no. I know you're not listening, but you're no backseat driver to me, all right?
We ain't no backseat driver to me. How could you say that, too? Because I put Marv in a tier by himself, one. There's a little gap. Just
I told
a little.
You that in confidence.
There's just a little gap. But guess who number
that
two is?
It was a confession.
It's not Malik Nabers. It's Rome Odunze, all right? Come at me.
James Canton. It is with all of my utmost respect and apologies that we will sign off after an hour and a half. Mike does that at the end. We love you. We may see you back if we're allowed. Episode 28. Love y'all. Ride this thing. Peace.
Ride this thing. See y'all. Peace.